It's coming up to 6:30. It's time for Opera on Three and our broadcast from the Met in New York.
We are live at the Metropolitan Opera House in New York City. I'm Mary Jo Heath, and today we bring you Donizetti's endearing romantic comedy, L'Elisir d'Amore, The Elixir of Love. Tenor Matthew Polanzani and soprano Pretty Yende star as Nemorino and Adina, the humble village boy and the vivacious girl who's a bit out of his league. The cast also features baritone Davide Luciano as Sergeant Belcore, and bass Ildebrando D'Arcangelo as the fast-talking Dr. Dulcamara, all conducted by Domingo Hindoyan. This performance is also being shown in theaters around the world live in HD, and during intermission, HD host Susanna Phillips will go backstage to talk with our stars. Stay with us.
And we'll be rejoining New York in just a few moments. The Metropolitan Opera broadcast season is supported by Toll Brothers, the Annenberg Foundation, the Neubauer Family Foundation, and the Vincent A. Stabile Endowment for Broadcast Media, and broadcast here through an arrangement with the European Broadcasting Union. Now, let's head back to New York.
I'm Mary Jo Heath, here with commentator Ira Siff. Ira, I look forward to hearing The Elixir of Love whenever it's on stage, but it's a special treat around Valentine's Day.
Well, it's a romantic comedy with hilarious antics and real heart, and that's always a fail-safe formula. Donizetti's music is criminally melodic. It's often touching. The characters' foibles make them so very human, and so all this sets L'Elysée apart from standard operatic comedies of its time.
Yeah, audiences loved it right from its premiere in 1832. The librettist, Felice Romani, was already quite famous. He had just written Norma and La Sonnambula with Bellini, and he had worked with Donizetti on his first big success, the historical tragedy Anna Bolena. Well, they achieved something quite different with L'Elysée.
And on quite a deadline. A theater in Milan needed a new opera after another composer failed to deliver. Well, Donizetti took the assignment less than 10 weeks before the scheduled premiere.
And wrote this amazing music in less than 4 weeks. To save time, Romani adapted the libretto from an existing opera, Le Filtre by Daniel Auber.
Right, that was a frothy French comedy, but Romani added verses that inspired some of Donizetti's most affecting music, like Nemorino's solo, Adina Credimi, where he pleads with her not to marry Sergeant Belcore, or Adina's gorgeous aria in the last act.
Well, both of our stars today, Pretty Yende and Matthew Polanzani, have talked about how deeply they're moved by some of Donizetti's melodies, and how much they enjoy the range of emotions they get to explore in this story.
Well, great singers have always been drawn to L'Elysir d'Amore. I think that's one of the reasons why L'Elysir remained popular, even when Donizetti's dramatic operas, aside from Lucia di Lammermoor, fell out of the repertoire. With so much humor and pathos in the score, artists can build individual interpretations of these characters.
And they can really draw us into the romance at the heart of the opera.
Right.
It's a classic story of, will they or won't they? So, let me give the synopsis for the first part of the opera's two acts. As it begins, villagers working in the fields pause to rest. Adina is the landowner, and Nemorino, well, he's just a poor boy smitten by her beauty and intelligence. Adina entertains everyone by reading aloud the story of Tristan and how he's conquered Isolde's heart with a magical elixir of love. A regiment of soldiers arrives in town. Their head officer, Sergeant Belcore, wastes no time in presenting Adina with a salute, a bouquet, and a marriage proposal. She laughs him off. Marriage proposal, there it is. She laughs him off. I looked at you and laughed and lost my place. But Nemorino is terrified she'll accept. He asks for a word with her, but Adina doesn't let him get very far. She tells Nemorino to seek love elsewhere. She won't be pinned down. Well, after a brief pause, the next scene opens in the village square where the crowd is abuzz. A gilded carriage has just arrived, and who could be in it? It's Dulcamara, a self-professed doctor who's peddling a miracle cure-all at a bargain price. Nemorino privately inquires if he has any elixir of love, you know, the kind that worked on Queen Isolde. And he's delighted when the doctor sells him some on the spot. And guess what? It costs exactly as much as he has in his pocket. Nemorino gulps it down, not realizing it's just wine. When he sees Adina, he puts on an act of indifference. He feels pretty good at this point and figures it's just a matter of time before the potion works its magic. But this newfound confidence backfires. Adina punishes him by abruptly accepting Sergeant Belcore's proposal. Nemorino remains nonchalant at first. That elixir is sure to kick in soon. But suddenly, the regiment gets orders to leave the next day, and Adina agrees to marry Belcore that very night. Well, Nemorino immediately loses his cool and begs her to wait. The act ends with villagers looking forward to the wedding and Nemorino desperate. So, Ira, let's talk about some of the music in this act. Like many bel canto operas, Elizir starts with a chorus.
Yes, for the villagers, they all look up to Adina, and Nemorino absolutely pines for her. In his opening aria, Quanto è bella, he talks about how unworthy he feels, and his modesty, well, it's actually quite endearing to us.
Adina is not only shrewd and beautiful, but she's also well-read, which shows in her choice of reading material, that story about Tristan and Isolde and their legendary love potion.
And she's captivated by the idea of a love potion. Her musical figures skip up to high notes, showing, well, she takes the story lightly, but still, she wishes she could find such a magical elixir herself.
Right. A drum roll announces the arrival of the soldiers, but in comes just a bunch of preening, bumbling men in uniform. Their march is more comic than warlike, and they're led by the vainglorious Sergeant Belcore.
He compares himself to Paride Vezzoso, the devastatingly handsome Paris of Greek mythology. Oh, and also to Mars, the god of war. A little coloratura flourishes in his entrance aria, perfectly express his narcissism.
Yeah, he's confident of winning Adina's heart and hand, even though she insists she's in no rush to marry. But Nemorino is rattled. He'll die if Adina accepts. Adina's actually fond of Nemorino, even though she's annoyed by his constant sighing, and she tells him so in the recitative before their next duet.
Well, she begins this duet with a lovely, gentle melody and tries to let him down easy, saying it's her nature to be fickle, like the wandering breeze that can't settle down. Nemorino takes up her melody, but with a different metaphor. He compares himself to the river that is helplessly drawn to the sea.
Adina suggests a cure for his lovesickness. He should follow her example and change love's day every day.
And this is a saucy little cabaletta. Again, Nemorino repeats her tune, but rejects her advice, saying, look, even if he took other lovers, he'd still only have eyes for her.
And there will be a little pause after this duet, and we'll talk about the music for the rest of the act then. We will hear, in order of vocal appearance, Ashley Emerson as Adina's friend, Janetta, Matthew Polanzani as Nemorino, and Pretty Yende as Adina. Davide Luciano, in his network broadcast debut, as Sergeant Belcore. The concertmaster is David Chan, and the recitative accompanist is Jonathan C. Kelly. Domingo Hindoyan, in his network broadcast debut, conducts the Metropolitan Opera Orchestra and Chorus. Well, the show curtain is an image of the Italian countryside with rolling golden fields. And when the curtain rises, we're in a clearing at the edge of the fields, shaded by trees, and the workers are coming in carrying baskets. Adina bustles around, making sure they have good places to rest. She's wearing a loose white blouse and a wide black belt and a red skirt that's hitched up on one side, giving her greater freedom of movement and also showing a little leg. And she's wearing a jaunty black top hat that Pretty Yende told us was one of the big appeals to her about this production. She said, I wanted to wear that hat. And she carries a little riding crop. Clearly, she's the lady in charge.
In charge, indeed.
And here comes Maestro Hindoyan onto the podium. And he's going to shake hands there with David Chan. Let's hear Act 1, Scene 1 of L'Elisir d'Amore.
cara, quanto è bella, quanto è bella, quanto è cara, più la vedo e più mi piace, ma in quel cuore non sento pace, lieve affetto d'inspira, in quel cuore non son capace, lieve affetto d'inspirar, in quel cuor non son capace, lieve affetto d'inspirar, lieve affetto. In quel cuor non son capace.
Yeah. Occuperò la piazza, alcuni istanti concedi ai miei guerrieri al coperto posar.
Ben volentieri, mi chiamo fortunata di potervi offrire una bottiglia.
Obbligato, io son già della famiglia. Attenti, marcia!
Una parola, boadina.
Usata seccatura, e solo ti sospir, fai se meglio a ricarti in città, presso tuo zio, che si dice malato e gravemente.
Il suo mal non è niente, appresso al mio, partirmi non possio. Mille volte il tentai.
Ma se mi muori, ti lascio il mio l'altro.
E che mi importa?
Muore di fame e senza tutta la cola.
O di fame o d'amore. Per me è tutt'uno.
Odmi, o sei buono. Modesto sei, mi al porto.
sacrilegio.
Oh, l'amor mio, credo, signor, facendo a me.
Carolina, non possio.
Con noi, perché, perché, perché?
Perché, perché? Al rio perché gelente dalla balsa ove perita corre al mar che a sé invita e nel mar spenga.
Well, Adina urges Nemorino to lighten up and find somebody else, but he remains hopelessly in love with her. We're in the middle of Act One of Donizetti's L'Elisir d'Amore, the Elixir of Love, live from the Met. And in just a few minutes, we will have the entrance of Dr. Dulcamara.
Well, he's an extraordinary creation. Unlike most bassobuffos, Dulcamara's not the butt of a joke, but a complete character, a charlatan with a heart. His catchy opening aria is filled with clever patter, listing all the ailments his potion can cure. asthma, rickets, infertility. It just dazzles this rustic crowd.
Including Nemorino, who's thrilled to get his hands on a bottle of the doctor's love potion. In their duet, Dulcamara keeps spinning out words at lightning speed, but he drops an aside in there to let us know that it's just a bottle of Bordeaux.
But Nemorino pours out his gratitude in a soaring, heartfelt tune, blessing Dulcamara. Meanwhile, the good doctor is remarking that in all his travels, he's never met such a fool.
Dulcamara explains it'll take one day for the elixir to start working, just enough time for him to get out of town. Nemorino impatiently takes a few big swigs. Suddenly filled with liquid courage, he sings a little ditty while making a big show of ignoring Adina.
And this becomes a duet. He's gloating that she'll be in love with him by tomorrow, while she's puzzled and infuriated by his apparent lack of attention.
When Adina promises to marry Sergeant Belcore in 6 days, Nemorino just laughs. He's not worried. He's got plenty of time. But then the regiment gets orders to leave the next morning. And all of a sudden, the wedding is moved up to tonight. Well, now Nemorino panics and begs Adina to wait just one day.
Yes, Adina, credimi, believe me, you cannot marry him. You'll regret it. Nemorino bares his heart in a poignant melody in a minor key. And when Adina repeats his tune, well, this hints at her true feelings.
Belcore becomes furious, but Adina defends Nemorino, calling him just a love-crazed boy. Still, she ups the game a little more and calls for the notary.
And the act ends with a rapid storetta for the whole ensemble. The villagers are excited about the wedding feast, while poor Nemorino is crying out for the doctor to help him.
Yeah, who, of course, is nowhere to be found.
Of course.
We'll hear an order of vocal appearance. Ildebrando d'Arcangelo as Dr. Dulcamara, Matthew Polanzani as Nemorino, and Pretty Yende as Adina. Davide Luciano is Sergeant Belcore, and Ashley Emerson is Adina's friend, Janetta. Domingo Hindoyan conducts the Metropolitan Opera Orchestra and chorus. Well, this scene is set in the village square with cafe tables and carts. There are buildings on either side and a church in the background. Dulcamara's carriage is covered with ornate gilding, and the back is covered with a dark curtain, which he flings aside in a theatrical flourish when he appears. So let's get back and hear Act 1, Scene 2 of Donizetti's L'Elisir d'Amore, The Elixir of Love.
Thank you. rustici, attenti, non fiatate. Io già suppongo e immagino che al par di me sappiate. Io sono quel gran medico, dottore enciclopedico, chiamato Dulcamara, la cui virtù preclara. E i portenti infiniti son noti all'universo e in altri siti. Benefattor degli uomini, riparator dei mali, in pochi giorni sgombero io spazzo gli spedali e la salute a vendere per tutto il mondo io fo. Compratela, compratela, per poco io ve la do. Compratela, compratela, per poco io ve la do. Compratela, compratela, per poco io ve la do. E questo l'odontalgico, mirabile di cuore, dei topi e delle cimici, possente distruttore, i cui certificati, autentici bollati, toccar vedere e leggere a ciascheduno farò. Per questo mio specifico, simpatico, prolifico, uno anzituagenario e valetudinario, nonno di 10 bamboli ancora diventò, di 10 o 20 bamboli fin nonno diventò. Per questo che sana in breve settimana più di una fitta che dovrà di piangere cessò. O voi matrone rigide, ringionir bramate, le vostre rughe incomode con esso cancellate. Volete voi donzelle liscia aver la pelle, voi giovani galanti per sempre avere amanti. Comprate il mio specifico, per pochi ve lo do, per pochi ve lo do, per pochi ve lo do. Da bravi giovinotti, da brave vedovette, comprate il mio specifico, per pochi ve lo do. E nuovi paralitici, spedisce gli apopletici, gli asmatici, gli aspitici, gli asterici, i diabetici, guarisce i timpanitidi, e scrofole rachitidi, e fino al mal di fegato che in moda diventò. Mirabile per i cimici, mirabile per il fegato, guarisce i paralitici, spedisce gli apopletici, comprate il mio specifico, poi vedo le donzelle, o giovani galanti, per pochio vero no. Avanti, avanti, vedove, avanti, avanti, bamboli, comprate il mio specifico, per pochio vero no. Sì, sì, per pochio vero no. Sì, sì, per pochio vero no. Sì, sì, per pochio vero no. L'ho portato per la posta da lontano 1000 miglia, mi direte quanto costa, quanto vale la bottiglia? 100 scudi? No! 30? No! 20? Nessuno si sgomenti, per provarvi il mio contento, dissi amico accoglimento, che vi voglio buona gente, uno scudo regalare.
Uno scudo veramente più bravo non si può dare, non si può dare.
Ecco qua, così stupendo, si balsamico e risire, tutta Europa sa che io vendo, niente men di innoverire. Ma siccome pur palese, io son nato nel paese, per 3 lire a voi lo cedo, sol 3 lire a voi richiedo. Gaetano, musica! Così chiaro è come il sole, e ciascuno che lo vuole, uno scuro
nudo, bello e retto, in saccoccio faccio entrar. Uno scudo bello e netto, in saccoccia faccio entrar, in saccoccia faccio entrar.
Bellissimo, forcete,
ecco, venire. Il caldo affetto tra miracoli può far, ani patria, il caldo affetto tra miracoli può far. Saccoccia e di Pandora il vaso.
Avreste poi per caso la bevanda amorosa della regina Isotta.
Ma chi? Che cosa?
Voglio dire lo stupendo elisir che desta l'amore.
Ah, sì, sì. Capisco, intendo, io ne so distinto amore.
E che è vero?
Sì, se ne fa gran consumo in quest'età.
Oh, fortuna, e ne vendete?
Ogni giorno, porto al mondo.
E quel prezzo ne volete?
Poco assai.
Poco?
Beh, secondo.
Un zecchin, null'altro qua.
E la somma che ci va.
Parletelo, dottore, parletelo, dottore. Ma sei obbligato, supplirini ci sono potento, che disire, la bontà, un benedetto chi ti fa. Obbligato, ma sei obbligato, supplirini ci sono potento, che disire, la bontà, un benedetto chi ti fa. Obbligato, obbligato, supplirini ci sono potento, che disire, la bontà, un benedetto chi ti fa. Obbligato, obbligato, supplirini ci sono potento, Ehi, dottore, un momentino. In qual modo usar si può te?
guardo pian pianino la bottiglia un po' si scuote e poi si scura ma si vada che il vapor non se ne vada che il vapor non se ne vada e quindi all'altro lo avvicini e lo pigli a centellini per effetto sorprendente non è tardi a conseguire per effetto sorprendente non è tardi a conseguire non è tardi non è tardi a conseguire
e sul momento
a dire il vero necessario un giorno intero tanto tempo sufficiente per cavarmela e fuggire
e il sapore
eccellente
eccellente
eccellente e porto l'orelisio
obbligato ma si obbligato so felice sotto tetto che desire chi fa bontà e letto chi chi fa
non si vuole
merito obbligato obbligato so felice
un tantino d'autorità e silenzio
e nella pandemia e anche l'anima il sangra
silenzio
e nella pandemia
silenzio
e nella pandemia neanche una
a mortale fortunato, un tesoretto donato, tutto senso femminile che domani sapiderà. A mortale fortunato, tutto senso femminile che domani sapiderà.
Ah, dottor, vi do parola, io verrò per una sola, né per altra, e sia pur bella, né una stilla avanzerà.
Ma non mai ti porrà, io per la
vostra stella,
ma non
mai ti porrà, io per la vostra stella. Veramente amica stella, a costui mandato qua, a costui mandato
qua,
a costui mandato qua.
Ma silenzio, ma silenzio!
Che
ne è? Che
non è?
Che non è?
Che non è? Che non è?
Che ma silenzio, ma silenzio!
Che ne è?
Possente la tua virtù se non mi hai avuto ancora di tanta gioia già mi colmi il petto ma perché mai l'effetto non ne sbossio vedere prima che un giorno interno sia trascorso beva sì buono, oh sorso. Qual di pena in pena dolce calor mi scorre, ma forse anch'essa, forse la fiamma stessa incomincia a sentir. Certo la sente, e l'annunzia la gioia e l'appetito che in me si risvegliò tutto in un tratto. La 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 la. La la la, oh diamine, ed essa, ma no, non ci appressiamo, te miei sospiri non si stanchi però. Tant'è, domani adorarmi dovrà quel cor spietato.
Oh!
e verla metto in opera. Così per una prova. Dimenticarvi, io spero. Si estinguerà fra poco. Ancora un giorno solo e il cuore guarirà.
Davvero me lo consolo, ma pure si vedrà
un giorno solo.
Si vedrà, si vedrà.
E giunti pur la Barbara, poco le mie pene. Domani avranno termine, domani rimanerà.
Avranno un solito esame segreto.
Esulti pur la Barbara.
Stasera
avrò
lo solito.
Esulti pur la Barbara. Domani avranno termine, domani rimanerà.
Sì,
sì, che m'avverrà, sì, sì, che m'avverrà, un giorno solo. Domani avranno termine, domani rimanerà.
Proprio la solita esame sentirà.
Esulti pur la Barbara.
Sarà prima lo studio.
Esulti pur la Barbara. Però non le mie pene. Domani avranno termine, domani rimanerà. Domani avranno termine, domani rimanerà. Sì, sì, che manera, sì, sì, che manera, sì, manera, sì, manera, sì, manera. Ma che cosa c'è? Ma che cosa c'è?
Te ringrazio, babbuino, che matto ho preso tu sei dal vino. Ti avrei strozzato, ridotto in brani, se in questo istante tu fossi in te. In finché tengo, apri le mani, va via buffone, via scogna me. Va via buffone, via scogna me. pannetta, ragazze, vi aspetto a ballare.
Lontano da te,
Marino, he's in despair. In spite of that elixir of love, Adina is planning to marry Sergeant Belcore. Well, that was Act One of Donizetti's L'Elisir d'Amore, live from the Metropolitan Opera, starring Pretty Yende, Matthew Polanzani, Davide Luciano, and Ildebrando d'Arcangelo, conducted by Domingo Hindoyan. And in just a second, we're going to go backstage where our HD host, Susanna Phillips, is going to be talking with our Adina Pretty Yende. And that great red skirt she's got hiked up a little bit on the side, a big black belt, white blouse, and she was working that top hat. He stole it from her a couple of times there, didn't our Nemorino?
It's fun to watch them together. There's so much interplay, so much chemistry between them, and vocal chemistry as well, so much elegance in the singing that they share. It's really quite a wonderful pair.
And here we go.
Our soprano, Pretty Yende. Hello, Pretty.
Hello.
You are so beautiful in this part.
Thank you so much. It's such a joy for me to sing Adina. I mean, she's such an earth woman. She's powerful and full of strength. And in this production with the hat, I think it works out.
She's like so many of the other parts that you've sung here at the Metropolitan Opera, so many feisty heroines. I mean, what makes this role such a good fit for you?
I think she's more powerful than them all because she's not looking for love. She has it and she wants to give it. Mm-hmm. And that just puts her in a more powerful position, where else the other girls that I usually play are dreaming of love, of an escape, mm-hmm. to have a better life. But she has it and she just wants to share it. Mm-hmm. And this is something that's more powerful for me. And the way Donizetti wrote it, there's so much sincerity. So it triumphs mm-hmm. in that sense that each and every character has that sense of humanity. And we get all of that, which is really fantastic.
You sing so many multifaceted characters here. I mean, you've sung Countess Adele in the Conte d'Ori, and you've sung Pamina in the Magic Flute, and Rosina in the Barber of Seville. Adina marks your live cinematic debut. Your family must be watching in South Africa.
Of course, I was just talking to my mom, and everybody's just rooting for me. This is a big, big moment for a girl who just dreamt of this wonderful chance to perform and express the joy and the gift of the voice, and to have this opportunity to share it with so many people around the world, it's a dream come true.
I understand that growing up in South Africa, the route to the Met stage right here must have been unusual. How did you become an opera singer?
Well, it's a very wonderful journey, which I can happily, you know, share it now because of all the great moments that I've had since I started the journey. Mm. I remember the first time I heard about opera, it was the first time I was, you know, hearing this wonderful, powerful music over the British Airways advert. And that for me was a turning point, you know.
A commercial?
And they were, the commercial. Oh, and they were using the Lakbe duet. So for me, that was like another, you know, door opening that I never knew it was humanly possible. So for me, it's been really, really a roller coaster, which I'm very grateful for.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for speaking for me, and toy, toy, toy for the next act.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Now I'm going to speak with our Nemorino, my wonderful colleague, Matthew Polanzani. Hi, Matthew.
Hi, Susie. So how long have you been singing Musetta? Oh, no. Wait a minute. I'm wrong. You ask. I forgot. Okay, go.
Well, okay. So explain this to me. So right. Nemorino goes from being very, very happy to being very, very sad on a dime.
Yep.
How do you do that? Is that hard?
Well, no. I mean, Donizetti helps. Right. You know, I mean, like, the story helps. It's... Plus, I've been singing it a little while, and man, you know, like, he is this kind of guy already. He's such an easygoing, singular-minded guy, and like, the one thing he's looking for in this world, it hasn't happened, and he's still fighting for it, and boy, he thinks he's finally got the answer. He's got the thing that's gonna turn everything, and when it doesn't work, I mean, well, he's destroyed. He's destroyed. I hate the end of this act, actually. It's so sad.
Aww.
But it's all right.
If this is the part that you have sung over a span of 15 years here in the Met stage and also all around the world to great acclaim. But what is it like to revisit that part over and over again? Does it change? Does it
evolve? Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. There are definitely things, even from the first time I did this production to this time, that are a little bit different. And of course, a lot of that has to do with who you're singing with and who your, you know, who your colleagues are, who's in the pit, the way things go. I mean, like, all that stuff changes depending on the moment. And one of the cool things is having experienced production in quite a few different places, well, you pick up little things in each place. I mean, I've mentioned it before on in an interview on Sirius where they were talking. I was just saying, like, I didn't really realize that Nemorino doesn't have a lot to offer her. You know, I mean, like, it never really occurred to me, because shouldn't love be enough? I think love's enough, isn't it? Most of the time, love is enough, but it's not always enough. And sometimes you have to add, there's something else, a little element or something has to get there that hasn't got there yet for him. So, I mean, I don't know, I picked that up. And other little things you find, you know how it is, you're going around the world and trying different people's ideas and see what different things go like.
Try different things on and see what fits and what doesn't.
Absolutely. And some things work in some productions that would never work in another production. I mean, it just sort of depends on what you're doing and how you're doing it.
Yeah. Well, coming up, you have one of opera's most beloved arias.
Oh, yeah.
Una Furtiva Lagrima.
Beloved by everybody. Not just like, not people who are listening, but tenors love to sing it too.
Why is that? Why do you love to sing it?
Oh, it's way gratifying to sing.
Why?
There's something about, okay, there's a couple things. One is, it's in minor. It's in a minor key.
Yeah.
I mean, part of it anyway. You know, and we only get 2 moments of minor for him. Adina Credimi, which we just heard. And this, and it's got a different feeling, and there's an inner joy that's different from his outer joy that, that we get throughout most of it. You know, some of it because he's drunk, and some of it because it's who he is. But this inner joy, this discovery of the fact that she loves him, oh, man. And then Donizetti, I mean, well, he just fills it out so great. It's really gratifying to sing and really fun for me. I enjoy it.
What is the essence of this character for you? Is he a comic? Is he a romantic? Is he simple-minded? What is
it's a rom-com. That's what it is. It's a rom-com.
Yeah.
No, I mean, he's funny. He's a funny guy by nature, but he's also, he's also a romantic. He's lacking words. He lacks something
polish.
Polish. I don't know. I mean, she lacks vision, or I don't know. You know, I mean, it's typical tale of two people trying to come together that, you know, like the stars haven't aligned yet. And he's most definitely, I don't think of him as a dummy. He's not dumb. He's just single-minded. He's got an idea, and that idea has got to be fulfilled. And it's not just some idea like, oh, I'm going to build a car. Oh, I'm going to, you know, build a table or whatever. He's got an idea that's coming from the heart, and he's got to let it out.
Well, I cannot wait to hear you let it out in the aria coming up. So
me
go
too.
Rest up.
Hang on, wait.
So
I want to say hello. I want to say hello to Annabelle and my parents.
Ugh.
And I want to say hello to my friend Carl, who hasn't heard me sing for live since, like, high school, senior year, or something like that. Awesome to see you. I'm glad you're there, and I hope I'll see you guys all soon. Okay, thanks, Susie.
Bye. Thank you so much.
That was our HD host, Susanna Phillips, speaking with two stars who were rather shot out of a cannon.
I would
Matthew
say.
Matthew Polanzani, our Nemorino, in today's performance
of Donizetti.
I'll
have what they're having.
Really, L'Elysio d'Amore. And before that, she was talking with Pretty Yende, who's our Adina.
You know, it's interesting, actually, what they were talking about. What Matthew was talking about, I have been watching this opera since 1965, I think it was.
Wow.
With Mirella Freni and Nicolai Guetta, Renata Scotto, Carlo Bergonzi. You see these different pairings, you see these different dynamics. A Donizetti comedy like this is so rich with subtext that you can actually pull out all of these thoughts and ideas from it without sounding in any way pretentious, because it's there also in Romani's brilliant libretto. So you have this comedy, but you do have all the depth, and then you have all the possibilities of different interpretations.
And you could see that on both Pretty Yende and Matthew Polanzani's face all the way through Act One, how deeply they were into these characters and listening to each other.
Yep.
Every single word. I'm Mary Jo Heath. Commentator Ira Siff is here with me. Later in this intermission, Susanna Phillips will chat with Davide Luciano and Ildebrando d'Arcangelo, who are playing Sergeant Belcore and Dr. Dulcamara, respectively. But before that, we're going to hear from Susanna herself. I chatted with her a few days ago about her upcoming performances as Musetta in Puccini's La Bohème. Don't go away.
And we will return to New York very shortly, but right now they're having their advertising break.
John Wilson conducts a program of great British music, including Elgar's heart-wrenching cello concerto, written shortly after the First World War, and Walton's spirited First Symphony. Elgar and Walton, live in concert, next Thursday night at 7:30, and then available on the BBC Radio 3 website.
Good evening, I'm Chris Barrow, and this is BBC Radio 3, and as I say, we'll go back to the Met in just a few moments' time. Meantime, though, just a reminder that you can have a browse through the opera on three pages of the Radio 3 website. The schedule of the Met broadcast is there, along with details of all of Radio 3's live and recorded broadcasts from British opera houses. There are lots of details about each opera, including production photos, full synopses, and casting information. And you can listen again to at least four programmes right now. Don't forget that we also broadcast an opera each Thursday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And this coming Thursday, Kate Mollison presents Granados' one-act opera, Goyescas, which premiered in 1916. And it will be performed by the BBC Singers and Symphony Orchestra. There's also a new recording of Florence Schmidt's Antony and Cleopatra's Suite No. 2. That's this Thursday afternoon from 2 o'clock. Now let's return to the Met in New York.
Venezuelan conductor Domingo Hindoyan made his Met debut this season, leading L'Elysir d'Amore. When Hindoyan began working at the Berlin State Opera just a handful of years ago, this was actually the second opera he ever conducted. It quickly became a favorite for him. He says he admires the way Donizetti and librettist Felice Romani broke new ground.
Donizetti, when he writes L'Elysir, it was his confirmation and was a big success. And it has a special signature, which is that it's the beginning of the tenore di grazia, or singer di grazia. It means it does not have all these coloratura and fireworks all the time. Our tenor in L'Elysir does not get to extremely high notes or extremely speed and soprano either. And it makes some mellow in the sound, at the same time being a comedy. Something that Rossini does not have. Rossini, when it's a buffo, is sparkling all the time. Donizetti has this sparkling spice everywhere, but has this also this beautiful melody moments like the Adina Credimi, like Furtiva, like Prendi, all these things that you don't find in Rossini. It does not stop like Rossini a few years before with the arias and cavatina and cabaletta and then applause. It goes in one shape, with one exception. In the second act, when comes the aria Furtiva Lagrima, is like a piece out of nothing. And in fact, was written after. Donizetti wanted to add this aria, and Romani didn't want to. And then they have a little fight, and then Donizetti won. And you see that before and after is like a little brackets, you know? There's now this area, a special moment.
Maestro Domingo Hindoyan, who's conducting today's performance of Donizetti's L'Elisir d'Amore. For the Met, I'm John Bischoff.
We're live at the Met, where we're listening to L'Elisir d'Amore by Gaetano Donizetti with a libretto by Felice Romani. This production is by Bartlett Shear, the sets are by Michael Juergen, and costumes by Catherine Zuber, and lighting by Jennifer Tipton. The revival stage director is Gina Lipinski. The production was a gift of the Monteforte Foundation in honor of Wim Kuiker. The chorus master is Donald Palumbo. Musical preparation is by Linda Hall, Gareth Morell, Vlad Evtinka, and Leora Maurer. The assistant stage director is Kathleen Smith-Belcher. The prompter is Vlad Evtinka. The Italian coach is Hemdi Kafir. And the stage manager is Christabel Langen. Well, Ira, it's lovely hearing Susanna Phillips host today's HD transmission. But soon, you know, she's going to return to her day job. She's singing Musetta in our production of Puccini's La Bohème. And I had the pleasure of chatting with her about that recently.
Yeah, I remember she made her Met debut as Musetta in 2008, and it's been fun to watch her revisit the role over the years, even when she's expanded her repertoire. And, well, who can forget how riveting she was last season in Sarajevo's L'Amour de Loin.
Oh, yeah, that was really special. Well, Musetta is a favorite role of hers, but Ira, I have to tell you, she was shocked when I told her she'd sung it 44 times on our stage. She started talking about why she loves playing this feisty, on-again, off-again girlfriend of the painter Marcello.
One of the things that I love about Musetta is that she calls it like it is. She's very clear, and she's fickle, and she wants to feel loved, and one of the ways she feels loved is from this kind of strong relationship with Marcello. And I don't think she ever, you know, really has any interest in Altindoro other than the kind of pain that it gives Marcello. I think everything that she does about Marcello and her love for him. But, you know, she's someone who loves fiercely and with great depth. And she loves Mimi. And when she finds Mimi's in trouble, she loves her fiercely and with great depth and comes in and does everything she can to try and help her and save her. And that, I think, is what becomes very clear, especially the last act of the opera, is, you know, that she loves very deeply, and you see that.
Mm-hmm. Has your view of her changed over these years?
Yes, of course. I mean, the longer you live with something, I think the more it evolves. I still think of her as a little bit of a cheerleader. I think she enjoys having fun, and she wants life to be a party, and she wants to live it and be out there and be doing things. I think of her with a little bit more of, she has a little more of a softer side. She doesn't play with Marcello in the same kind of mean girl kind of way. I think of it more as an attention-seeking thing now than I did before.
Just as long as there's attention, and she doesn't really care if it's negative attention or positive attention.
Right.
As long as he's watching
As long as he's watching her. That's what, you know, she needs.
Musetta is actually a role that's sung by quite a variety of voice types. What do you think gives it that kind of flexibility?
I think that this part is rangy, so you need to have a voice that has kind of a heftier middle voice for the last part of the opera with the prayer. It's very low, and you need to be able to carry across the orchestra, but also it's quite high in the beginning. It sits quite high. The tessitura is quite high. So it can work for many different voice types, but it takes a particular kind of voice to be able to do it, a rangy voice.
Does it fit your voice differently now than maybe when you first sang it?
Oh, definitely. Especially, I mean, you know, you age as a person, so your voice changes that way. But I've just had two children, and so that certainly has changed my body and my voice in turn. And so my voice is fuller and kind of richer, but is actually a little higher than it was before. And so I'm approaching it slightly differently this time, and it feels equally as good. It's just feeling a little bit like a different part.
So Musetta is most famous for her very showy entrance and aria in Act Two, Quando men vo.
Yes.
How do you approach that? Kind of right off the bat, you have like three or four lines and then off you go.
Yeah. It's a little terrifying because it's like jumping on a moving carousel and you just have to be right on the path. It's so much fun because at the beginning of it, I'm supposed to remove my hat and then toss it. And one of the things I like to do is kind of play with who I toss it to. And once I tossed it and it landed on the lamp in the cafe, which was really, and everybody started laughing, which is not, you know, what you want at the beginning of your aria.
It's like sinking a basket from half court. What's the likelihood of that?
It was great. Also, you know, she's a person that is the life of the party and would just jump in and take over the scene. And so that's what I like to do. I like to jump in and take over the scene and just have a great time. I love singing the aria. It's beautiful and it's playful, and I like being playful.
What are your thoughts about the enduring appeal of this opera?
It is a beautifully written opera, musically and dramatically. All the characters are fully formed, and you can follow their storylines individually and have a wonderful evening with any of them. Mm-hmm. But musically, it's just beautiful, and it's interesting and funny and fun and heartbreaking. It's got everything you want. It's got, you know, the jealousy and rage and pain and, you know, death and, and tremendous love. And it's a desert island piece for me. It only gets better with time.
That was soprano Susanna Phillips from a recent conversation I had with her about singing Musetta in Puccini's La Bohème. We're going to hear from her again in a few minutes, live backstage, where she's hosting today's HD transmission.
Musetta is a role people love to sing. There have been some big star turns, Ljubavelic, Renata Scotto. Because, you know, I think also in just a few minutes of stage time, Puccini, we always talk about his economy of composition in mm-hmm. La Bohème. A few minutes of stage time, he creates a whole rounded character with Musetta that gives you fun but gives you drama in the final act.
It was great when Susanna came up last week. She brought her three-month-old baby daughter, Grace, with her. And there's nothing all of us on the sixth floor like better than a baby coming to visit, I have to say. Well, La Bohème will be our broadcast 2 weeks from today on February the 24th, when it will also be shown in movie theaters live in HD.
And we'll be back with Mary Jo Heath in a few moments while they have an advertising break for Act 2 of Donizetti's L'Elisir d'Amore. This is BBC Radio 3. I'm Chris Barrow. And as you may have picked up from previous seasons, there's sometimes a Met quiz in these programmes featuring questions supplied by listeners from all over the world. Now, it's worth submitting a question for a future broadcast, because if yours is chosen, you'll earn yourself a gift package of opera recordings and publications. The address to write to is Metropolitan Quiz, Metropolitan Opera, 30 Lincoln Center Plaza, New York, New York 10023, in the United States of America. And you can mention in your letter that you are listening to Radio 3. You can also submit questions online at the Radio 3 website. And while you're there, you can have a look at the Opera on 3 pages, which have the schedule of the upcoming Met broadcasts, and specifically the details of next week's performance of Wagner's Parsifal here on BBC Radio 3. And now it's time to return to the Met in New York.
Coming up soon, Act 2 of Donizetti's L'Elisir d'Amore. Here's a preview of next Saturday's matinee broadcast, live from the stage of the Metropolitan Opera. Parsifal, Wagner's unparalleled final achievement, based on legends of the Knights of the Holy Grail, transformed into a timeless spiritual epic of torment, healing, and rebirth. Klaus Florian Voigt stars as Parsifal, the one whom prophecy said would renew the land, but who must first feel other people's pain and sorrow. Evelyn Herlitzius is Kundry, the enigmatic wanderer, an agent of both destruction and salvation. Rene Papa is Gournemanz, the veteran knight who, in the face of despair, maintains hope in an ancient promise. And Pater Mater is Amfortas, the sacred king whose body and realm are ravaged by a mysterious wound that will not heal. Met music director designate Yannick Nezet-Séguin leads the orchestra and chorus in this transcendent score. Wagner's Parsifal. Next Saturday's broadcast, live from the Met.
An opera like no other, and what a cast and maestro. Mary Jo, even hearing just those brief clips of the music, I feel myself entering a world where time and space are merged.
It really is entrancing, isn't it? It's a long opera, but every second is worth it. Parsifal will be our broadcast next Saturday. We're live at the Metropolitan Opera with Donizetti's L'Elisir d'Amore, The Elixir of Love. I'm Mary Jo Heath with commentator Ira Siff, and Act Two is going to begin in a little while, and soon we're going to go backstage again to where HD host Susanna Phillips will be speaking with the two Italian gentlemen in our cast, baritone Davide Luciano, who's singing the role of Belcore today, and bass Ildebrando d'Arcangelo, Dr. Dulca Mara. But first, let me tell you about something that really fun that's going on. Here's a little setup for it. As you'll remember, when Act 1 ended, Adina announced she'd be marrying Sergeant Belcore. Well, Act 2 opens at the pre-wedding feast. Now, there's usually real pasta and chicken on the banquet table. It's made fresh for every performance, and the cast sits and eats it on stage. Well, today, are they ever in for a big treat? Because the great Italian chef, Lidia Bastianic, has been in the kitchen preparing a special pasta dish just for this scene.
Yes, I understand she's calling it pasta d'amore, some pasta of love to go with the elixir.
Ba-dum-bum, is that what I do right then? That's right. Well, it's tagliatelle with mushrooms. Mm. And the recipe's on our website if you want to check that out. And I am looking forward to seeing Dr. Dulca Mara chow down on it. Well, Bastianic is such a huge opera fan. We actually see her here in the audience all the time. And the Met is launching a new educational partnership with Italy, that's the name of her Italian culinary marketplace.
Yes, I've gone there for some wonderful, authentic Italian goodies.
Yeah, so have I, too. It's kind of addictive to roam the aisles of all the various little shops in there, isn't it? Well, they'll be collaborating with the Met on all kinds of initiatives to spread the love of Italian music and food. Mm. There'll be cooking classes with Met artists, gourmet catering at Met outreach events. I can't wait. I might have to sneak into a few of them to see what it's like.
Indeed, me
Ira,
too.
I know that you go to Italy like every summer, so this must be terribly exciting for you. What are some of the things that you like to do while you're there?
Oh, God.
Or
well,
eat,
you know, operatically speaking, I love to go to, you know, Verdi land and have grana padana, the parmigiano. Mm-hmm. I love to go to, if I go to the Puccini house in Torre del Lago.
Oh, right.
I will eat, you know, pappardelle cinghiale, a local Tuscan dish. If I go south to Bellini land, right, pasta con sarde, pasta with sardines. Is, you know, it's always fun to kind of experience and savor what they ate, too.
Right, no kidding. Well, you know what? A little bit about the opera and some of the characterful names in it, because that's pretty entertaining, too. The characters in this opera do have interesting names. Belcore means beautiful heart, and Dulca Mara means bittersweet.
Yes, and Dulca Mara is also the name of a bittersweet nightshade, which is a traditional homeopathic remedy that's used to treat a whole host of ailments. I guess it's like calling him Dr. Probiotic in English. Nemorino is the name of an Italian diminutive of the Latin nemo, so it could be translated as little nobody.
Like Finding Nemo,
yes,
our favorite little movie. It sort of does reflect the way Nemorino thinks of himself, at least at the beginning of the opera. Yes, we're just about to go backstage again, and Susanna Phillips is going to talk to our gentlemen.
I'm joined now by two distinguished Italians in our cast, bass Ildebrando d'Arcangelo and baritone Davide Luciano. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Ildebrando, here at the Met, you've sung Leporello and Don Giovanni, Figaro, the Nozze di Figaro, and now Dr. Dulcamara. He's such a con man. How do you see him?
I mean, it's a little bit Don Giovanni, but not the really Don Giovanni. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, cool, fun, and try to make everything perfect for his business. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit different from Don Giovanni, the comicity of Don Giovanni. So Dulcamara, it's more smart guy.
Davide, you're so dashing as Belcore. Is he a comic stereotype, or is there more to him?
So I think Belcore is the typical character of the Italian comedy.
Mm.
But I think also that you don't have to make him funny comic. I mean, if you make him a serious, gallant gentleman, he becomes funny, he becomes comic. Otherwise, if you want to be comic funny, he becomes too ridiculous. He becomes
almost like you're
more
trying
ridiculous
too hard.
Than funny. So
yeah.
I think that's the point of the
story,
yes.
This opera is one of opera's greatest comedies. What's the technique performing opera on the operatic stage? Do you try to not play it too far? Do you try and be as distinguished as possible because that's funny? Or
so I think there isn't a special technique for the comedy. No, I think I think there is something important, like small things, like the timing. Especially the timing in the small details, I think. That's the important thing for me.
And today is your mental...
And in general, in the comedy, it's the timing. It's the timing and the small things, the small details.
Well, this opera is incredible timing in your own career. This is your Met debut, isn't it?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
This is very exciting. And Ildebrando, the next scene begins with a wedding banquet, and you get to eat the food on the stage. What is that like? Is that hard to eat and sing?
Correct. I mean, I can't wait. Guys, it's time to eat now.
Yes.
So I will enjoy the wonderful, you know...
the wonderful spread?
Exactly.
Oh,
so,
well,
I mean, also I need to sing, so I need to manage both. I will see.
Yeah.
Be careful.
Exactly. Well, you all look like you're having such a great time on stage. Toy, toy, toy.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And thank you so much for speaking with me.
Thank you.
That was our HD host, Susanna Phillips, once again, and she was talking with Davide Luciano, our Sergeant Belcore, and Ildebrando d'Arcangelo, Dr. Dulcamara. Well, Act Two will start in just a few minutes, so Ira, let's talk through what happens. As I said, we begin at the feast to celebrate Adina and Belcore's upcoming wedding.
And to entertain the guests, Dulcamara invites Adina to join him in singing a catchy barcarolle for two voices. Now, he plays the rich old Venetian senator Tre Denti, or Three Teeth, who's trying to woo a beautiful lady gondolier.
Who's played by Adina, of course. Everyone is delighted, but Adina is irritated that Nemorino isn't there. She wants to see him suffer. So when Belcore hurries her off to sign the marriage contract, she stalls for time. Finally, Nemorino arrives. Dulcamara tells him the elixir will work faster if he drinks another bottle, but the poor boy has no more money. Belcore suggests he can raise a little cash, 20 scudi, in fact, by enlisting in the army.
Their duet epitomizes each character. Belcore's wordy description of the glories of military life creates a rhythmical foundation, while Nemorino ardently sings that he would lay down his life for Adina.
Nemorino signs up, and Belcore promptly hands him his bonus, secretly pleased that he'll be out of the way, and Nemorino runs off to buy that potion. Just then, a bit of news reaches the girls of the village. Nemorino's uncle has died, but has left the boy his millions.
And this is a very funny, stealthy-sounding chorus for the ladies who gossip about how Nemorino has suddenly been transformed into the town's most eligible bachelor.
And as soon as they spot him, they fall all over him. Naturally, Nemorino thinks it's the love potion at work. But Adina sees this and is devastated. Then Dulcamara tells her Nemorino joined the army just to buy some elixir, and Adina realizes he did it all for her.
Adina's second duet with Dulcamara begins lyrically as she reproaches herself for tormenting such a noble heart as Nemorino.
Yeah, Dulcamara misreads her distress for love sickness and suggests she could use some elixir. But Adina is determined to win back Nemorino on her own terms.
And she sings an effervescent tune filled with joy, at last fully realizing she's in love. She tells the doctor, with all due respect to his potion, her tender glance will be enough to melt Nemorino's heart. Dulcamara realizes he's met his match.
And almost immediately, a bassoon solo introduces one of the most haunting melodies ever written and one of the most famous tenor arias in opera, Una Furtiva Lagrima, that we heard Matthew and Susanna talking about. Nemorino describes the furtive tear he saw in Adina's eye as she watched him with the other girls.
Yes, as Matthew mentioned, the minor key of the first verse blossoms into major as the truth dawns on Nemorino. He sings Mama, which in Italian means she loves me. And the second verse is sensual. He expresses his profound desire to be close to her, their hearts beating together. The aria ends in a major key as he declares he could then die happy, wanting nothing more. It's an exquisite, tender, emotional awakening.
And it leaves us aching to see Nemorino and Adina together. She comes to tell him she's bought back his enlistment papers so he can stay here at home with all the people who love him.
And this aria is simple, but it's also ravishing. The delicate accompaniment hints at Adina's reticence. She still won't admit her own feelings.
And finally, Nemorino's frustration spills out. If she doesn't love him, he might as well go off and die in the army. So finally, Adina has to confess, Tomo, I love you.
Yes, and she says it over and over, ending in true bel canto fashion with a cadenza that soars up to a high C and then plunges down to octaves.
Yes, she plants a big kiss on him, and Nemorino can only respond, oh, gioia. When Belcore finds the two in each other's arms, he takes it in stride. Plenty of other women are after him. And Dulcamara, well, he takes all the credit. His elixir not only brings love, but riches, too.
In addition to curing all those other ailments, which he recaps for the villagers, but this time to a reprise of that delightful barcarolle tune.
And we're all left a little tipsy when that tune keeps going around and around in our heads. Well, we will hear an order of vocal appearance. Ashley Emerson as Janetta, Davide Luciano as Belcore, and Ildebrando D'Arcangelo as Dulcamara. Pretty Yende is Adina, and Matthew Polanzani, Nemorino. Domingo Hindoyan conducts the Metropolitan Opera Orchestra and chorus. Now, the curtain's going to go up on a barn that's been festively decorated for Adina and Belcore's party. There's a brass band up in the hayloft, and a long table in the middle, and that's where that pasta, the tagliatelle with mushrooms, is going to go. Adina wears a white lace dress, but she still's got on that good old top hat. Belcore is in a blue dress uniform trimmed in gold. And later in the act, the table and walls of the barn will disappear, leaving only a golden wheat field with a single tree silhouetted against a dark blue sky. And it's in this setting that Nemorino is going to sing his beautiful aria. So it looks like we have Maestro Hindoyan coming on. And he asks the orchestra to rise. So let's hear Act Two of Donizetti's L'Elisir d'Amore.
Thank you. A fretta Sono piacevoli assai, ma quel che ne se mi dà maggior diletto è l'amabile vista del banchetto.
Ho veduto il notaro, sì, l'ho veduto. Non va più speranza, né morirò per te. Spezzati il cuore!
Idol mio, non più rigor, ma vedi un senato.
Voi qui, dottore?
Sì, ma voluto a pranzo a questi amabili sposi, e mi diverto con questi avanti.
Ed io son disperato, muovi il messo io, dottore. O duo per essere amato prima di domani, adesso su due pie.
O spetto e matto, reci bene di sì, e il colpo è fatto.
E veramente amato sarò da lei.
Da tutte io te prometto, se anticipare l'effetto dell'elisir tu vuoi, e bevine tosto un'altra dose, più perto fra mezz'ora.
Caro dottore, una bottiglia ancora.
Ben volentier, mi piace giovare bisognosi. Hai tu denaro?
Ah, non ne ho più.
Mio caro, la cosa cambia aspetto. A me verrai subito che ne avrai. Vieni a trovarmi qui presto, alla pernice. Ci hai tempo un quarto d'ora.
Oh, me infelice.
È un animale stravagante davvero. Adina mamma, di sposarmi è contenta e di ferire pur vuol fino a stasera.
Ecco il rivale, mi spezzerei la testa di mia mano.
Ebbene, che cosa ha questo baggiano? Ehi, ehi, quel giovinotto, cos'hai che ti disperi?
Io mi dispero perché, perché non ho danaro, né so dove trovarne.
Esci munito, se danari non hai, fatti soldato, e 20 scudi avrai.
Scudi
e ben sonati.
Quando? Adesso?
Sul momento.
Che parteggio?
E coi contatti gloria, gloria al reggimento.
Ah, non è, non è ambizione che seduce questo cuore.
Se l'amore in guarnigione non ti può mancare, amor, no, 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 non ti può mancare, amor.
Anno, 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 ai perigli della guerra io so ben che sposo sono.
E ti scudi
che domani la patria terra zio congiunti ahimè abbandono.
consonanti.
Ma so pur che fuor di questa altra strada a me non resta per poter del cor cadina.
Thank you.
Alico, 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 alico vero, già per ciò si parla, toccate il cuore.
Signore!
E non so credere, mi piace.
Oh, sì, davvero, e già mi chiederà, da noi mi guarda noi.
Il piacer, l'amor, l'ambicco, come l'acqua di rose,
e ciò che adesso vi fa maravigliar del giovinotto, tutto portente in me, e mio decotto.
Pazzie!
Pazzie, voi dite, incredula, pazzie! Sapete voi dell'alchimia il poter, il gran valore dell'elisir d'amore della regina Isotta.
Isotta!
Isotta, io nodo ogni misura ed ogni cotta.
Chi ascolta, e a mio marino, voi deste l'elisir.
E mi lo chiese per otter l'affetto di non so qual crudele. Languiva, sospirava, senz'ombra di speranza, e per avere una goccia del farmaco incantato, mentre la libertà si fe soldato. Pure innamorata,
spieta,
ha bisogno del liquor, tutto il senso femminino e per giovane impazzato. Della checca tutte segue tutte becca e nel gallo della checca tutte segue tutte becca. Essa pure innamorata, essa pure innamorata. Ha bisogno del liquor, ha bisogno del liquor. Il gallo della checca, il gallo della checca, tutti segui, tutti becca, tutti segui, tutti becca. Essa pure innamorata, essa pure innamorata, ha bisogno del liquor. Del gallo della checca, tutti segui, tutti becca, tutti segui, tutti becca. Se tu vuoi c'ho la ricetta che tuo mal guarì potrà, se tu vuoi c'ho la ricetta che tuo mal guarì potrà. Avresti cor
dottore, troppo scaltra, più di te cose ne sa, e più di te cose ne sa, e più di te cose ne sa. Sì, sì.
Buono tempero, cantino, sorriso, buon correzzo, che mi sostiene, ma pure in chi più ti sprezza, ne vedo un che tante cose, riso con te sposi e morti,
thank you.
Quale accresce beltà l'amor nascente a far l'indifferente si seguiti così finché non viene la spiegarsi
Nemorino
con tal mezzo che il mio destino io potea migliorar
la tua persona la tua vita ci è cara io ricomprai il fattore contratto da bel cuore
voi stessa è naturale o proietta d'amore
Thank you.
si spiega. Mi lasciate?
Io sì.
Null'altro a dirmi avete?
Null'altro.
Ebbene, tenete! Poiché non sono amato, voglio morir soldato. Poiché non sono amato, voglio morir soldato. Non va per me di pace, se mi inganno il dottor, se mi inganno il dottor. Io voglio morir soldato, se mi inganno il dottor. Caro dottor, felice io son per voi.
Sovrumano elisir, vuoi in un momento non solo rimediare al mal d'amore, arricchirli spiantati. E fornisce di belletto la più brutta creatura. Camminare fa le rocce, schiaccia gobbe, appiana bozze. Ogni incomodo tumore copre sì che più non v'è. È un sonnifero eccellente per le vecchie peggerosi, ed ha coraggio alle figliuole, campa ora a dormir sole. Svegliarino è per l'amore più potente del caffè. Dalle stelle io vi lascio un gran tesoro, tutte in lui salute belle, allegria, fortuna ed oro. Rinverdite, rifiorite, impinguate, t'arricchite, e la grande brutta amara possa questa ricordare.
At the end of a romantic comedy, aren't you supposed to say, well, finally, Nemorino and Adina are at last together. And if everyone wants to believe it's due to Dr. Dulcamara's elixir of love, well, sure.
Why not?
That was Donizetti's L'Elisir d'Amore in a live broadcast from the stage of the Metropolitan Opera here in New York City. This wonderful, charming, bubbling, effervescent comedy with a heart.
You can't possibly love a comedy more than L'Elisir d'Amore.
No.
Musically, comedically, characterfully.
Everything. And now the curtain is back up, and boy, is the stage full. We have our chorus. We have all of our supers. There are lots of children in this production. We have villagers. We have soldiers. And they're all taking a bow together. And the camera pans across them. And here is Ashley Emerson, our Janetta, soprano from Bangor, Maine, her 13th Met role. She was also Barbarina and Papagena this season. Here is Davide Luciano, our Sergeant Belcore, Italian baritone. This is his Met debut role and season. He's off to Torino to sing Figaro in Barbieri next. Here's Ildebrando D'Arcangelo, Italian bass. Our Dr. Dulcamara made his debut here in 1994 and hasn't been here since 2008. Great to have him back. After heard, he sings Don Giovanni, Leporello. And here's Pretty Yende, soprano from Piet Retief, South Africa. She made her debut into, oh my gosh, the flowers are raining down, and so is the confetti from the top balcony. This is her sixth role at the Met. Oh, big smile on her face. Lots of cheers from the audience. My goodness. Her sixth Met role, she came in at the very last minute in 2013, having learned the Countess Adele and Comte Henri in about a week, she told me. She was 27 years old at the time. She was, that was a big moment from her, and boy, has she ever jumped on it ever since. And here is Matthew Colenzani. And more flowers for him. His 21st consecutive season at the Metropolitan Opera. Big smile from him, waving at the audience.
Such an affecting artist with such a beautiful, a kind of modest charisma.
Yes, very much so. 350 performances, 36 roles. As he said, he started with a lot of second soldier on the left, but boy, did he grow into a leading man. Tenor from Evanston, Illinois, I should say. And now they're all bowing together. Our five principals. Gosh, I don't think I've ever seen so many flowers thrown up on the stage at the end of the show there, Ira. And our pretty Andy is off to get our maestro, Domingo Hindoyan, from Caracas, Venezuela. Grew up there as a violinist and then went to Geneva, studied conducting, and became an assistant of Daniel Barenboim in Berlin, and he conducts there a lot. And this is his Met debut opera and season. And he's turning around and applauding for his cast. And now everybody is taking a bow all together. And some step-down bows. There's our Janetta Ashley Emerson, Davide Luciano, Belcore, saluting the audience. Dr. Dulcamara, deep bow for him. Pretty Ende. She picked up one of those pieces of confetti on the stage and was waving it at the audience. And there's Matthew Colenzani. The music producer for this Metropolitan Opera broadcast is J. David Sachs. And the operations director is Don Kurzweil. Ed Hartley, Robert Hewitt, and Jason Crystal are the broadcast engineers. Our senior radio producer is Ellen Peel. Our show producer is John Bischoff. The producer is William Berger, and the associate producer is Lee Ellen Vim. We have production assistants from Yolanda Williams, Michael Griebel, and Geza Kudlock. Everybody's still bowing, and now it looks like the curtain, well, I don't know if it's coming down yet. They're still waving at the audience. The broadcast stage manager is Lori Squire. There it goes. The executive producers are Mia Bongiovanni and Elena Park. Oh, and the kids in the audience are waving back. And Metropolitan Opera's music director designate is Yannick Nezet-Séguin. And the general manager is Peter Gelb.
And thanks to our American colleagues Mary Jo Heath and Ira Siff for this transmission from the Met from New York. The Metropolitan Opera broadcast season is supported by Toll Brothers, the Annenberg Foundation, the Neubauer Family Foundation, and the Vincent A. Stabile Endowment for Broadcast Media, and broadcast here through an arrangement with the European Broadcasting Union. This programme is available to listen to on the Radio 3 website for 30 days in the UK. Just search for Opera on 3. And next week we're back, but at an earlier time of 4:30 in the afternoon from the Met in New York with Wagner's Parsifal. The tenor Klaus Florian Vogt takes the title role with the soprano Evelyn Herlitzius as Kundry and the bass René Pape as Gurnemanz. The Met's music director designate Yannick Nezet-Séguin conducts the Metropolitan Opera orchestra and chorus. We hope you can join us then.
Launching skyward from the 16-foot-deep vertical walls of a frozen halfpipe, she grabs her snowboard and rotates horizontally 1,260 degrees, 30 feet above anvil hard ice. If all goes to plan, she'll land on her feet. And for her, it's just another day at the office. The fearless are here. The Winter Olympics. Get all the latest action across BBC TV, BBC iPlayer and Radio 5 Live.
Good evening, I'm Chris Barrow, and just a few bits and pieces for you to bear in mind. At quarter to ten, the poet Robert Crawford will consider the role that the Scottish physicist Ronald Dreever played in the search for gravitational waves, so stay tuned for that. Before that, though, we're going to look ahead to tomorrow and the listening service at 5 o'clock, where Tom Service is going to tell stories in sonata form with David Owen Norris at the piano. So we're going to play a sonata attributed to Haydn in anticipation of that. This is his sonata for piano in G major, performed by Marc-André Hamelin. ¶¶ attributed to Haydn, his sonata for piano in G major, performed by Marc-André Hamelin.
On the 6th of February 1918, the first women in the United Kingdom were granted the vote. To mark the 100th anniversary of this event, BBC Radio 3 has commissioned the composer Lucy Pankhurst to set a text by the activist and writer Helen Pankhurst, which is based on a powerful address given by her suffragette great-grandmother, Emmeline. And we're inviting singers and choirs of all types and sizes from across the country to perform it. The Pankhurst Anthem. To hear the premiere performances given by the BBC singers and the folk legend Eliza Carthy, and to download the sheet music free of charge, visit the BBC Radio 3 website.